Welcome back to CJMQ 88.9, your favorite local radio. This is Adele speaking, and you're listening to the Headline Decoder, your weekly Canadian political breakdown, where I analyze current news and events that happen in the country. My goal is to keep you informed in an unbiased way. This is the second part of the previous episode on politics and sports at the Olympics. Let me quickly remind you of what was covered in the first part. First, we covered the basic goals of the Olympics. These rules are that the Olympics must stay a place where the world is united. This means that every country must respect the peace and dignity of others. That's why all political statements must be removed once the games start. However, we then covered how these no politics rules and the consequences for making political statements at the Olympics don't discourage athletes from having such behaviors. Indeed, Olympians risk their careers to make political statements because politics is deeply embedded in every individual, making it extremely hard for some to put aside their national feelings for a couple of weeks. Now that you remember that information, I will move on to a closely related topic. I ended the previous segment asking if the athletes were the only ones affected by their decisions. In today's episode, we will cover what athletes' behaviors and victories can mean for their country politically. Stay with me to dive into what happens when victory isn't just victory, but a statement. In this episode, you'll see that sometimes a single goal, a single win, and a single medal can become a message heard by the world. Some rivalries aren't just about sport, but identity, pride. Let's step into the arena where sport becomes a stage for power. Just like athletes' political statements can impact their own careers, their behaviors can affect the reputation of their entire country. In fact, because Olympians represent their country, and because the Olympics is a very important global sporting event, what athletes do and say can be held not only against them, but against their country. For those of you who followed curling at the recent Olympics, you know that our Canadian curler, Mark Canetti, was accused of double-touching the stone after releasing it, which is illegal in curling. I'm sure even those who didn't see it have heard of it in the media or in the news because it sparked a major controversy. Many people clearly saw the athlete touch the rock with his finger after he had released it, but he wasn't officially charged with cheating by the governing body. Yet, this wasn't left unheard on the global scene. We might never know if he cheated for real or not, but what is certain is that this will stay associated with him and with Canada. In sports, when athletes make mistakes, it can stick with them for their whole career. Sometimes, all it takes is one mistake to ruin their reputation. I think our Canadian hockey player Nathan MacKinnon would agree that one mistake can cost a reputation. Let's take a look at the event that stole the attention away from our curler on the last day of the Olympics. I know that this is probably still a sensible topic for many, but we must talk about the men's hockey finale between the United States and Canada. As you may know, Team Canada played for gold against Team USA. The game ended when the US scored in overtime, defeating Canada 2-1. Keep in mind that I'm not a sports analyst and try to stay as neutral as possible, so although I feel a certain way about the whole game, I won't get into details of how I felt about it. However, I think I can speak in the name of Canadians in saying how heartbreaking it was to see Canada lose to the US. While the whole game was quite disappointing, we could still hope, deep inside, that Canada would win. But this hope disappeared when Jack Hughes scored and gave the US the victory. I know I wasn't the only one who felt a mixture of emotions. We didn't want to believe that this really happened, that Canada, whose national sport is hockey, lost to the US. I'd like to emphasize that Nathan MacKinnon isn't the only player to blame for their loss, because hockey is a team sport. Yet, he was the one who missed an incredible open net opportunity to score and bring the victory home. And he's the one that people seem to direct their disappointment at. This is why mistakes can cost athletes' reputations, but as I said, it also impacts their country's reputation, since they win and lose in its name. Then, let's analyze why this loss affected Canadians so much. Do you think it would have been this frustrating to see Canada lose if it wasn't for the fact that we lost against the US, our neighboring country with whom we've had such hardship lately? Of course, it's never fun to lose, neither for the athletes nor for their supporters. But why did this particular loss feel much worse than others? Let's face it, hockey matches between Canada and the US are usually a tense affair. But Canadians have a great historical record for winning against their neighbors. The numbers have spoken. The US men's hockey team has been defeated 12 times by Team Canada at the Olympics. While Canada has dominated men's Olympic ice hockey with 9 gold medals, Team USA's victory this year got them the first US Olympic men's hockey gold since 1980. Not only was it their first gold in 46 years, but it was also only their third gold in men's hockey at the Olympics. Then, no wonder this victory was so important for the US. And for Canadians, our winning record probably raised the expectations for the team, making our loss even more disappointing for our nation. Remember when I said earlier that sporting heroes become national heroes? Well, this took on its full meaning when the US won against Canada. Let's look at a perspective on Canada's history and recent events between Canada and the US. While Quebec's status as a nation is clear, it wasn't always the case for Canada, which was criticized for not having a distinct culture. The main element we considered a shared cultural object was our national sport, hockey. In fact, when we succeed at hockey, it can symbolize our nation's strength and worth. This can be seen by analyzing events that happened around last year's Four Nations face-off. To give a bit of context, back then, Trump was trying to make Canada its 51st state. For him, winning the hockey competition would mean that Canada is so weak that he could take over it with no problem. In a post he made on Twitter the day before the competition, he said, and I quote, "I'll be calling our great American hockey team this morning to spur them on towards victory tonight against Canada, which with far lower taxes and much stronger security will someday, maybe soon, become our cherished and very important 51st state." This was a way to use hockey as an indicator of each country's strength. He tried to make the US look better than Canada, criticizing our politics and threatening us again of falling under his control. However, Canada won against them, and this proved our worth. Addressing Trump's previous comment, Trudeau told the American president he couldn't take our country, and neither could he take our game. Once again, this shows how sports are used to make political arguments and how victories can serve as deep political messages. The same kind of event repeated this year when the US won the Olympics, with Trump making a statement referring to last year's outcomes and Trudeau's statement. Once again, Trump posted an image on X that showed a bald eagle standing triumphantly, its talons digging into a Canada goose lying helplessly on the ice. Both birds are symbols of their respective countries, and showing the eagle in a position of superiority meant everything. For him, their victory showed that America is stronger than Canada. As opposed to Trump, our prime minister stayed very diplomatic. Instead of responding to Trump's statement, he focused on Canadians and congratulated them on their hard-fought, well-earned silver. He told Team Canada that they made our country proud. In sum, when losing or winning can become a way to express the power of a nation, it is political. And that's where we'll leave things for today. Overall, in the two episodes on politics and sports, here's what's important to remember. The Olympics may brand themselves as a politics-free zone, but as we've seen, the human beings who compete there don't shed their identities at the starting line. Whether it's an athlete quietly defying a rule, or a nation interpreting victory or defeat as something bigger than sports, the games keep reminding us that national pride and political meaning travel right alongside athletic performance. The Olympic arena remains a stage far larger than medals alone. When athletes win, lose, protest, or persevere, they do it with a flag on their back, and the world pays attention. Thanks for joining me for another episode of the Headline Decoder. Stay tuned for episode 3, where I'll dive into another corner of Canadian politics. Until then, take care.